The inspiration for this morning's message comes from some time that I spent in Israel. And when we would go to Bethlehem, we would go to a church in Bethlehem, St. Anne's Church. And I think it's probably the most precious thing about our trips to Israel for me. Because I wouldn't follow the rest of the crowd after I saw it once. I'd just go there immediately. There was a statue. I don't worship statues. I'm not taking you down a goofy road here. But I go to the back of the church, and in the back of the church is a statue of Anna and her daughter. Anna was the mother of Mary. Interesting about Anna, the historians say that Anna and her husband had a terrible time conceiving and having children. That's in the annals of history. And they had a hard time conceiving, so that when Mary came along, they were really delighted to have their daughter, because they were delighted to have children. And God's hand must have been on that conception also, because he must have chosen a really precious woman, the woman that would raise Jesus. As I looked at that statue, I saw this statue of the young girl looking up preciously at her mother. And I thought, wow, what a special relationship they must have had. What was entrusted to Anna was incredible. The nurturing and development of a girl who loved God, and we can see that by what's recorded of what Mary says in the scriptures. She loves God, and in part of what she says, and we'll get to that in a minute, it shows that she had a great knowledge of the scripture, because she quoted little pieces of the scripture in the Magnificat, just one thing after another, after another, after another. Just verses and psalms right straight from the Word. So she was well-schooled in the Word, and I would suppose that would be at the hand of her mother, at her mother's knee. A girl who was not set on doing her own thing. She raised a daughter who was other people-centered instead of just selfish. A daughter that wasn't full of pride, because if she was, she couldn't have responded the way she did. I fell in love with Anna in that church, and I respected her, and I wanted to be like her. I have many daughters in the faith, my own daughters, of course, whom I adore, but also daughters in the faith, and she was a marvelous example and a wonderful teacher. So with that, I'm going to talk about Mary this morning. It's Mother's Day. So I'm not going to just talk about Anna. Now I'm done with Anna. Let's go on to Mary and the mother that she became, the mother that God chose. I want you to turn in your Bible. And let me tell you, in King James, you're going to turn to Luke 1 and verse 26. In the Bible that we're reading through the year, that would be on page, 1357 in the Daily Bible. 1357 in the Daily Bible. And just go to Luke in King James. There's some scriptures here, Luke 1, 26 to 38. Put your hand up when you found that. Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. Surprise! I love different. Okay, what I want you to do is I'm going to just give you a few minutes, and I want you to read that in your own Bible, those scriptures. When you're done reading it, would you put your hand up? You can just rest it on the table, but so I'll know when you're done. Luke 1, 26 through 38. So now we're going on, and the top of your paper says Mother's Day. And we're going to see what mother would spell and how it relates to Mary's life. So I'll let him finish handing those out. Good reading, huh? Amen. M. What does M stand for? It stands for the fact that Mary was motivated. Mary was motivated to do the will of God in her life. She states in Luke 1:38, which you just read, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She heard all that the angel had to say. She preciously asked the question of the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." She listened to his answer and she made her statement, "Be it unto me." Wow! "Be it unto me as you, Gabriel, have stated, as the Lord told you what to say to me. Be it unto me." And then she called herself the handmaiden of the Lord. That handmaiden means doulos. It means a slave. If you go back further in the Greek word, you'll find out that it means a slave, not just a slave, but an under rower. An under rower, way in the bottom of the ship. The ones that were down under and they rowed and they made the ship go. A slave, a true slave, willing to give themselves in life for the service of another. That is absolutely precious. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, "Mary would have understood that the angel was speaking to her of the Messiah who had been promised for so long. Mary did not seem surprised that the Messiah was to come. Rather, she was surprised she would be his mother since she was a virgin. But the angel did not rebuke Mary. It indicates that Mary did not doubt the angel's words, but merely wanted to know how such an event would be accomplished. The answer was that the Holy Spirit would creatively bring about the physical conception of Jesus. Bottom line, she heard and she willingly responded. Is that what we need to do? We need to hear when God speaks to us and then willingly respond, forgetting pride, forgetting how it might look, forgetting what others might think, but just willingly respond. Fantastic choice of worship songs this morning, Pastor Kev. Honest to goodness, knowing what I was going to, my heart is so full of the characteristics of Mary, and knowing that she could have been standing there right next to me, singing every one of those songs so freely. Because the songs were submission to the Lord and what He's doing and His will and His way in our life. Reign, Lord. You reign, Lord. I'm not going to reign in my life. You reign. You tell me and I'll do it. Ah, amen. I'll do it. Even making myself so lowly as a slave. I will be your slave to do it, Lord. I will lay down my life. Is that what Jesus has asked us as Christians to do? Lay down our life for one another? I saw it last night. I heard it happen last night. I heard our pastor lay down his life for Marilyn. He was exhausted. I can tell you that now, Marilyn. I'm sure he didn't tell you that last night. He was exhausted. He has had a horrendous week. But you know, there was no doubt. I said, "Kev, Carl, go with you." And he says, "No, Carl's had a big week too. Carl needs his sleep. Royal needs his sleep tonight." He says, "I'm going. I'll take her." And cheerfully, he took her. 5-6 hours, however long it took. Praise God. Are we willing? Can we be willing to lay down our life for others? That's what Mary did. What an example. What an example. But she was motivated to do so because she believed God. The Israelites were not motivated to get into the promised land because they didn't believe God. Right? They just simply didn't believe in it. It was because of their unbelief that they didn't get to go in. Mary believed God. Sherry believes God. And when I don't, you remind me to. Amen. Obedient. Oh, obedient. Mary was obedient to the will of God. She was motivated because of what she'd heard, but she was obedient. To be a young woman and become pregnant while unmarried was a horrific thing in Israel in those days. So as I read a commentator say a statement similar to that, I thought, well, I wonder if they had abortion then. So I went and I looked up in under Google, abortion in early Testament times. And it took me there. Yeah, they did. So it was an option. She could have. She could have committed suicide. She could have. But she didn't. She didn't. She was obedient. She had a word from the Lord, and she was obedient to that word. How many times can I repeat it? How many times do we need to hear it repeated for our own walks? No matter what Joseph did, she was going to believe and obey God. She had a message from heaven, and it said, "Nothing shall be impossible with him." She simply was obedient because of belief. And she was obedient because she trusted God. What did she trust? We read about it in verses 28 through 37. She trusted what the angel had told her. Remember, this is a 14-year-old girl. This is not a mature Christian lady that's been around for a long time and has all the pieces together. She was a I don't know any of those two. Pat, do you know any of those? Introduce me to them if you do. I'm not saying that you're not, but you know what I mean. Anyway, she was a 14-year-old girl. She was only 14. But she trusted God. The angel told her, and she believed, one, that she was going to be favored. Two, that the Lord was with her. Three, that she was blessed among women. Remember, I'm not telling you this out of the blue. You just read it in your own Bibles, and they've underlined it. Yes. She trusted she would conceive. She trusted she would carry Jesus. She trusted he would become great. She trusted he would be given the throne of David, because God said so. She trusted that there would be no end to his reign. And she trusted that nothing was impossible with God. Mary T. trusted God. Remember, when Sarah got pregnant, or said she was going to get pregnant, she laughed. When Jesus said to Thomas, "It's me," he doubted. Zechariah hesitated, didn't he, when he said that his wife was going to get pregnant. And it shut him up for how many months? 5 months, something like that. He couldn't talk. But there are two R's. When God says something, you can do one of two things. You can react to what he says, or you can respond. Sarah reacted. Zechariah reacted. Thomas reacted in doubt. Mary responded. So write that down someplace on your paper. R is for responded. I got it as something else because there's something else at the end for M-O-T-H-E-R, R-R-R. But write it that down in this place that Mary responded under trusted God. Mary H, she honored God. We read it and she stated it in verse 46. It's called the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. The word magnify is megaluno. It means to declare great or extol or to show great. She absolutely adores the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Can you say that? My soul doth magnify the Lord. We rejoice. We magnify him. That's what we do in worship. That's what she did. She's 14. She's 14. But what she knows of him, how much you and I know of him and his character and his greatness, we should be even more so magnifying him. Magnifying him. Not looking at all the circumstances, but magnifying him. Coming together. I should magnify him when I'm at Safeway and see you, Harriet. Ashley. I should magnify him. We don't have to let the whole world know, but you can tell by my countenance. So when I do this when I come in the bank, without causing too many ripples, you'll know exactly what I'm doing. Okay? I'm magnifying him because I believe him. I love him. And I honor him. And I want to honor him. She loves and adores her Father in heaven. In verse 48, she sees herself as humble and lowly. And then in verse 49, she goes on and this is where she starts weaving all these psalms together, showing, as I said earlier, that she was well aware of what the words of the Old Testament were, what the written word was, what they did have. And her mother had taught her those things. She states, "He is mighty," and she extols him, saying, "He is strong and has strength, and puts down the mighty and scatters the proud." So she knows something about his character, and she calls him holy. When we call him holy, we're honoring him. We can honor him just by calling him holy, just by saying, "You are a holy God." Woo! Yes, I love it. She doesn't just talk honor, but she lives it. And she lives in honor of him by the fact of her trust. In verse 48, she is honoring God. Life Application Bible notes say, "When Mary said, 'From now on, all generations will call me blessed,' was she being proud? No, she was recognizing and accepting the gift God had given her. If Mary had denied her incredible position, she would have been throwing God's blessing back at him. Pride is refusing to accept God's gifts or taking credit for what God has done. Humility is accepting the gifts and using them to praise and serve God. Don't deny, belittle, or ignore your gifts. Thank God for them and use them to his glory." Honoring God is being what God called you to be and not being ashamed of it and using those gifts for his glory. Are we honoring God by letting him use us in the kingdom of God? Are we allowing the gifts he's put within us to be used? Thank you, Elaine, for being faithful at that piano, and Royal and Dan at the keyboards. Thank you for doing that, because you're honoring God by your service to the Lord. Sue, by all the kitchen preparation and all you do, all the shopping and keeping us on the straight and narrow back there. Hallelujah. Thank you for honoring God by letting him use you to minister to the body of Christ, more especially to Grace Christian Center. Amen. As we walk in his way, and it's not being proud saying, "Yes, I've been called to do this. It's okay. There's an anointing on me to do this." That's not proud. We have to know that. That's what Mary is saying. She said, "I'm going to be called most blessed of women." She's acknowledging that God has favored her. Hallelujah. And she's talking to God about it. If you wonder what you're good for in the kingdom of God, may I suggest you get out the book of Colossians and read it and underline in it. Honoring God. What an example for us to follow. What a woman. What a woman. E, expectant. She's an expectant example for us. Mary is an expectant example. She is expectant of what he can do. She's expectant of what he has done to her in verse 49. "For he that is mighty hath done great things." She is expectant that the Savior who shall be called Jesus shall reign forever. She is expectant about what the angel said would happen, that she would be overshadowed and that a holy thing would be born from her body. I think that is so funny in that the King James translation. What is a holy thing? That's what God allows the book to call his son, a holy thing. Anyway, a holy thing would be born from her body, and that he would be called the Son of God. Was she expectant when the chips were down at the wedding and there was no wine? Huh? She was expectant. She was an expectant example. She expected Jesus to take that water. And she told the servants, you do your part, take the water to him, take it to him, and he'll turn it into wine. Amen. And it was finest wine that they'd had at the party. Wow. She was expectant. She knew. Did she expect to see a king sitting on a throne during her lifetime? I wonder. Was she expectant of that? Possibly. But she also knew that a sword would pierce her heart. So I'm sure if you go into her emotions and think, I wonder what she thought, really. I have a feeling that God spoke to her and comforted her when Jesus died. Don't you? Huh? Amen. It was fun doing the research for the message, because there was a lot of research on whether or not Jesus had brothers and sisters. And did she remain a virgin for the rest of her life? And very interesting research. One of them said, if he had brothers, if he had siblings, then he would have never given Mary to John, for John to take care of. Interesting? Interesting point. That doesn't have anything to do with the message. Okay, that was just a little aside. Okay, R, rejoiced. We're winding down, or winding up. Amen. What does it mean to rejoice? Hallo, hallo, ahi. To jump, to leap, to spring up. Yes, Mary did indeed rejoice. She had every reason to rejoice because she went beyond human reason into the very presence of the Almighty. You know, sometimes when we're down, we just need to rejoice. And as we start rejoicing, if we really let our soul leap up in Him and be expectant and be trusting of Him, we come into His presence in that rejoicing, in that leaping up in the soul and the spirit. And as we do, we get a different perspective on life. Amen. We need to rejoice. As Christians, we need to rejoice more. Because sometimes we can get down in the muddy grub. Carol, yes, look at me, honey. I know. You know me inside and out. She does. It's awesome to have an intercessor, but you know when you meet their eyes during a message, you know they know everything about you. Amen. We need to rejoice. We need to rejoice and just let our soul and spirit be buoyed up and be lifted up into His presence. And then we can look down from heavenly places and we see things differently. She was in intimate communion with the Most High. I bet she danced in her heart and she danced in her spirit. She just couldn't keep her soul down. You can't keep your soul down when you get praising God, can you? Nope. It just magnified the Lord. And she couldn't keep her spirit down. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. She didn't say she rejoiced in the Savior. She didn't say she rejoiced in someone else's Savior or someone else's God. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. She had a personal, intimate relationship with God. M-O-T-H-E-R spells mother. We can emulate these characteristics in our own lives, and we can be motivated by hearing from the Word of God. We can be obedient to the Father. We can trust Him. We can be expectant of all He can do through us, and we can rejoice in God our Savior. Yes, we can be motivated. Yes, we can be obedient. Yes, we can trust Him. Yes, we can honor Him. Yes, we can be expectant of all He's going to do through you today. Yes, you can have personal, intimate relationship with Him and rejoice in Him always. Let's stand and let's say the following together. Yes, I can be motivated by God. Yes, I can be obedient to His will for my life. Yes, I can trust Him with my life. Yes, I can honor him. Yes, I can be expectant of what he is going to do in and through me. Yes, I can rejoice in him. Okay, let's take it a step higher to the next level and let's say it this way. Yes, I can. I can do anything, but will I? Let's say it this way. Yes, I will be motivated by God. Yes, I will be obedient to his will for my life. Yes, I will trust him with my life. Yes, I will honor him. Yes, I will be expectant of what he is going to do in and through me. Yes, I will rejoice in him. Glory to God. Woo! Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Enjoy Jesus. Look at these qualities again this afternoon. This week, take the little piece of paper out. Give yourself a little check. Am I doing this? It's God's will for us to live, male or female. M-O-T-H-E-R. And for you women especially.